Christ is risen. Alleluia. Yes, friends, this is the Easter declaration that should be on our lips every day. For this is not only the cry of early Christians, but of every follower of Christ through time. This is a cry not only of victory, but also of rebellion. Yes, that's right, rebellion. We shout, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed into the brokenness of the world around us. We shout, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed into the injustices around us. We shout it into the inequalities between people. We shout that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed into the hurt and the pain and the grief around us. We shout it into those experiences of death still present in the world. Friends, this cry that Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia, is our victory and rebellion cry. And friends, we get to yell it at the enemy and proclaim, not today, for Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia. But friends, we are not only in the season of Easter, but we are also in a year-long preaching series called Abiding with Jesus. Now, when we began this, what feels like more than a year ago, it was to spend intentional time with Jesus so that he could shape and mold us into his image. Friends, you and I, this family of faith, we are endeavoring to get up and close and personal with Jesus so that we can't ignore the teachings that make us uncomfortable. We're getting up close and personal. We're abiding in the one who is the vine so that you and I, that our lives, friends, might produce fruit for God's kingdom. You know, in December of 2016, at the Music Box Theater on Broadway, a Dear Evan Hansen opened to critical acclaim. It has since started a touring production, which was in GR literally like weeks ago, and a production on the West End, which is London's Broadway. Now, if you've never seen it, Dear Evan Hansen tells the story of a socially anxious teenager whose own battles with isolation and loneliness have caused him to wonder, is his life worth living? And in a tangle of events that could only be scripted for the theater, Evan Hansen finds himself in the middle of a mess of his own making. And yet, in the midst of that mess, others around Evan Hansen are called to look at their own life and wonder, who am I? And friends, it's within the context of isolation, it's within the context of wrestling with one's own significance and what does it mean to belong, that Act One of this musical closes with the following lyrics. Have you ever felt like nobody was there? Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear, like you could fall, and nobody would hear? Well, let that lonely feeling wash away. See, maybe there's a reason to believe that you will be okay. Because when you don't feel strong enough to stand, just reach. Reach out your hand, and oh, someone will come running, and I know they'll take you home. And so even when the dark comes crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, and when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. And so let the sun come streaming in, because you'll reach up, and you will rise again. And so lift your head and look around. You will be found. Now, similar to last week, this week we are digging into a story that is pre-resurrection, but which has ramifications for our life post-resurrection. So let's get right after it. We're going to grab a Bible, paper, digital, the one you brought, the one we provide, it doesn't matter. And let's go to John chapter 5, starting at verse 1. John chapter 5, starting at verse 1. We heard Chris read that just moments ago. Can I just take a moment and say thank you to anybody who reads the scriptures for the church? Because they never know what it is they're going to get. Today, there are words like Thyatira and Samothrace and Trous and all of these beautiful names. Chris, you nailed it today. Thanks for that. Goodness, even the pastors don't nail it every time, so well done. Let's go to John chapter 5, that gospel reading. Now, a little bit of context here before we get into John chapter 5, verse 1. Jesus has been on the move in the gospel of John. Thus far, he's been in Cana, where he parties with a bride and a groom who, as it turns out, serves the best wine in the whole of the area. He's been, of course, in these secret conversations with a Pharisee par excellence, this Nicodemus, whose own curiosity has him seeking Jesus out. Jesus has been in Samaria, where a chance encounter with a woman drawing water at a well saw the conversion of a whole town. And then he heads back to Galilee, where he brings healing to the royal official's son. And now, finally, he's traveling south to Jerusalem, where he heads to a place called Bethesda. Now, in this place was a pool, a natural spring, whose waters were regularly stirred. And most believed that the waters were stirred by the angels themselves. And because of this supernatural stirring, those gathered around the pool believed that those who could get into the water first would receive healing. Now, John chapter 5, verse 1, 2, and 3, we read this, that there is a great number of disabled people who used to lie, the blind and the lame and the paralyzed. A great number of people, most, if not all, forgotten by the world around them. A great number of people whose days were spent in isolation and loneliness. A great number of people whose lives seemed insignificant. A great number of people who were lost in the eyes of the very ones who were called to care for them. This wasn't a place of beauty. Bethesda was a forgettable mess. Now, in that great number, there was one who had been there for 38 years. 38 years of isolation, 38 years of insignificance, 38 years of lostness, 38 years of broken beyond repair. I wonder if their hearts sang, "Have you ever felt like nobody was there? Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear? Like you could fall? And nobody would hear?" Several years ago, I was walking the hall of a nursing home in order to visit one of our shut-ins. As I walked down that quiet hall, I was met by, of course, monitor beeps and nurses on a phone and the occasional conversation leaking out of a room or two. But by and large, the place was relatively quiet. Now, the nursing home, it isn't Bethesda with a pool that's stirred by angels, but it is a place where a great number of people are lying about, often forgotten, where they spend their days in isolation and loneliness. A great number of people who seemed lost to the rest of the world. I wonder if they would sing, "Have you ever felt like nobody was there? Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear? Like you could fall and nobody would hear?" About 2 weeks ago, I had the unique opportunity to talk to a class at Jennison Junior High. And walking the halls of a junior high school is fascinating and interesting. So many conversations, so many things happening. And yet, friends, junior high kids, middle school kids, they're awkward. They're still trying to figure out who they are. They haven't really grown into themselves yet. Certainly in the hallways of Jennison Junior High, there were lots of smiles, and yet I wonder how many of them feel isolated. How many of them feel alone? Like they've been forgotten. Like they could fall. And nobody would hear it. A woman walked through our doors just this past week who had been incarcerated for a number of years. And she recounted her story first to Larry and then to me and then to Jay Fox. She recounted the pain and the hurt and the grief that her addictions had led her to. And as she told that story, the lyric of that closing act of Dear Evan Hansen rang in my head. I wonder if she would sing, "Have you ever felt like nobody was there? Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear? Like you could fall, and nobody would hear?" Jesus, in John chapter 5, steps into this forgettable mess, into a people isolated and forgotten, wrestling with their own significance. And he comes to this man who has been there for 38 years. 38 years of isolation, of loneliness, of insignificance. So verse 6, let's look at it together. When Jesus saw him lying there, and he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred, when I'm trying to get in. Someone else goes down ahead of me." Now, we should pause here for just a moment, because here's Jesus stepping into a community of people who have been lost and isolated, who are wrestling with their own significance. Here's Jesus speaking to a man who's had those feelings for 38 years, and he asks the man, "Do you want to get well?" And the man's reply is not, "Yes. Yes, I do. That would be amazing. Lord Jesus, bring it." He doesn't say any of that. Jesus is met with complaint. "Do you want to get well?" "Well, let me tell you, Jesus, here's the deal. Every time the waters are stirred, I can't get in because somebody goes ahead of me." This might be the most ungrateful, reluctant convert in the whole of Scripture that I've ever seen. "Do you want to get well?" "Let me tell you." I wonder if Jesus stumbled through those halls of a nursing home and said, "Do you want to get well?" Would he be met with a yes or just a complaint? "My family never visits. The nurses are really inattentive." I wonder if Jesus walked the halls of Jennison Junior High and said to those middle schoolers, "Do you want to get well?" How much of it would be met with complaint? "Well, I don't have the right clothes. My parents won't buy me the right shoes." I wonder if Jesus spoke to the woman incarcerated and dealing with addiction, "Do you want to get well?" Would it be met with complaint? "Everybody's always out to get me." "Do you want to get well?" Jesus asks. "Well, I have no one to help me into the pool, and the water's stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Look at verse 8. "And then Jesus said to him, 'Pick up your mat and walk.' At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked." I love that Jesus steps into messy places. I love that Jesus brings good news even to the most reluctant and ungrateful. I love that Jesus seeks the lost so they might be found. Have you ever felt like nobody was there? Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear? Like you could fall, but nobody would hear? Maybe you're thinking about your own life and those moments when you've felt all alone. Maybe it was in your past, maybe it's in your present. Maybe you're wrestling with your own significance. Maybe you're a middle schooler wrestling with your own awkwardness. Maybe you're dealing with your own addictions and your own journey of recovery. Maybe you're looking at your past sins and wondering, "If I fall, would anybody hear?" The gospel text today reminds us that no matter your circumstance, no matter your life, no matter your history, you will be found. If you are that awkward middle schooler, take heart. You will be found. For Jesus found Nicodemus, himself socially awkward, climbing a tree. Maybe you think about your past life and all the sins that are weighing heavy on your heart, but take heart. You will be found. For Jesus found a woman at a well. Maybe you have questions and doubts about the Christian faith. Maybe you yourself are deconstructing what you've always known. Take heart. You will be found. Jesus found Nicodemus in his own questions and his own doubts. You will be found. It's interesting to me that Dear Evan Hansen, a musical on Broadway opening in 2016, that they get it. Not written by Christians. But they ask, have you ever felt like nobody was there? Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear, like you could fall, and nobody would hear? And here's the reply. Well, let that lonely feeling wash away. Because maybe today there's a reason to know you'll be okay. Because when you don't feel strong enough to stand, reach out your hand, and someone will come running, and I know that they'll take you home. So even when the dark comes crashing through, and when you need a friend to carry you, and when your broken on the ground, you will be found. So let the sun come streaming in, because you'll reach up and you'll rise again and lift your head and look around. You will be found. I love when the things of the world reveal the truth of the scripture. I love that again today in this gospel text, you and I are reminded that Jesus comes to us to find those who are lost. Jesus comes to us to find those of us who are lost, who are feeling isolated and alone, who are broken on the ground. Jesus comes to us. And this, friends, has been his history. He comes to us in the waters of baptism, where we are buried with him and raised to new life, where so many of us early in our lives were given a new name as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And friends, he comes to us again today as we gather around his table. This motley crew of sisters and brothers, those of us with pasts and histories and awkwardness and doubts and questions and sins, we will come to the table and we will be found. For Christ comes in bread and wine, in his very body and his very blood. He comes to us, for you will be found. Friends, we need this truth more than ever. To be found and to be launched into the world to find those who, like us, were lost, who feel alone and isolated and wrestling with their own significance. To remind our family and our neighbors and the world around us that there is one who comes to them, that they too can be found. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, friends, now may the peace of Christ, which passes all human understanding, may guard and keep our hearts in Christ Jesus today and every day. Amen.